This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy whose house has an actual wiggle room, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome to Nightlight. It's all true. Everything they say about me here is true. Ladies and gentlemen, great to be here. Great to be with you. And thank you for joining us wherever you are joining us from in Wisconsin tonight. It is a night that feels eerily like the day after Halloween and fall. It's November 1st. I think whether we want to admit it or not, it is actually fall. So it's a little chilly out here, at least up here in northeastern Wisconsin. I don't know what it's like in other parts of the state. Feel free to check in. It's always great to hear from you guys, no matter what you're weighing in on. You can always text us throughout the show at 855-752-4842. Just give us a hello if you want. Let us know how your Halloween was. I thought we had a fun show last night, Conrad. I thought we had a good, you know, we had a fair amount of texts. We had great guests, talked a little bit about Halloween. I did not give out any candy. I was gone because there's hours now.
Oh, yeah.
Where kids have to trick or treat. So no one was at my house. So it felt kind of bittersweet, but it was fun to come here and dress up.
Yeah, definitely. You know, when I was growing up trick or treating, they still had those nighttime regulations as well.
Oh, do they?
Okay. And my friends would always be like, well, we don't even get to trick or treat at night. But in the movies, you always see kids trick or treating at night.
That's how we did it. And it was night. Yeah, you're right. It was like, and it was kind of scary. At times, you know, because there's always big kids in the neighborhood freaking you out. Like, but it was fun. And, you know, I thought it was a good Halloween. It was fun to do the show. I did see some kids trick or treating. And now I feel like it's in the rear view. Now we got to get past Election Day and then head towards the more serene
Christmas,
Thanksgiving Christmas combo. Exactly. That's our question tonight, actually. I'll start with that. It's November 1st, and I had a friend who would start playing the Christmas music right away, right after Halloween. I can't do that. I need a buffer. I need at least a couple weeks. I love Christmas music, certain Christmas music, so much. I can even do it a little before Halloween, but maybe the weekend before. Not November 1st. So that's our question tonight. When is it too early to start playing Christmas music or watching Christmas movies? When is it too early to start playing Christmas music and watching Christmas movies? Now, we are talking about it, but I'm not trying to, like, get people into that spirit yet. I really, truly am curious. So let us know at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. I'm going to go at least the weekend before Thanksgiving or Thanksgiving weekend. It can be fun to crank up. We usually watch Planes, Trains, and Automobiles that weekend of Thanksgiving because that's really a Thanksgiving movie. It's a holiday movie, but it's a Thanksgiving movie. What about you? When are you going to start all this up?
I mean, with music, it's like I don't go out of my way to play it, to be honest.
Yeah.
But movies, I will go out of my way because some of them are like, I have to watch it every year.
Right.
And I think I always started off with Home Alone.
Yeah.
And Home Alone 2.
Oh, really? Like, start off when, though?
I usually start off after Thanksgiving.
Okay.
And then, you know, I usually give a watch to, like, the new Netflix movies that they have. I always watch all three Santa Clauses, too, because I really like Tim Allen in that.
Okay.
And then after that, it's like, if I'm in the mood, I'll just, like, whatever, I'll put on something. But those are my go-to movies. And I never watch it before Thanksgiving.
You should have asked Stephen Leo for some swag, man, when they were on the show.
I should have, yes. Actually, today, I was looking at the, release today?
Yeah.
But it was, I can't remember if it was yesterday or today, but Santa Claus 2 came out.
Oh, back in the day, years ago.
Yes.
Yeah. There's some good stuff coming up. I mean, the holiday box office season really kind of, in my opinion, kicks off November 15th. Those are the ones where, those are the films that come out where the studio is like, we think these are going to have legs. We want to be the first ones in the door. And this year, there's like a Barbenheimer 2.0 coming out.
Really?
And it's Gladiator 2.
Oh, yeah.
And Wicked. And supposedly, Wicked is, there is already Oscar buzz. Critics are saying it's a spectacle. I have not even seen the stage show. My daughter sang a song from Wicked during a competition in high school. Beautiful song. I'm very excited to see the movie. Who is it? I think it's Ariana Grande is in it.
Yep.
She plays Glinda. And then, so those are coming out on the same weekend. So we've got a Barbenheimer situation here.
You know, I'm really excited to see Gladiator 2. But
yeah,
I've never actually like even heard of, like, I never saw a theater performance of it or know the story of Wicked.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm actually kind of excited to go see that too, because I know nothing about it. It'll be my first time really, truly getting into it.
Me too. I know people, friends of mine who have seen it on Broadway or when it traveled rave about it. So what I'm hearing is the critics that have seen it are doing backflips. So, and they got it out just in time for the Oscar buzz to get it in the pool for next year's Oscars. So that was obviously a strategy. But I'm excited about Gladiator 2 as well. I like the first one a lot. I wasn't excited for this one until I heard Denzel Washington was in it. I like Paul Mescal, the guy who is playing the actual Gladiator, was the nephew of Joaquin Phoenix in the first Gladiator. And I'll be interested to see how they weave that storyline, how he was kind of royalty and ended up as a gladiator. I find that interesting. And I have no reason to believe that Ridley Scott won't put out an amazing film.
Yeah.
So I think Gladiator 2, that could be a really fun weekend of movie watching pre-Thanksgiving. So we've got that, and then we can start our holiday movies at Thanksgiving. But I'm with you. I'll start probably the holiday movies Thanksgiving weekend. We'll probably do Planes, Trains, and then do Christmas Vacation, It's a Wonderful Life, Home Alone.
Christmas Vacation, I forget. That's one of the movies I go to watch, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I remember that from last year.
And
I think some of them, I have to be honest, like Home Alone, I have to muscle through until he sets all the traps and it's just great slapstick comedy because I've seen the damn movie so many times. But you just do it out of tradition because you want to do it. And it's part of your life and the fabric of your holiday celebrations. So that's exciting. But anyway, let us know what you think. How early is too early to start celebrating Christmas music and Christmas movies? 855-752-4842. Got a really good show for you guys tonight. Two of our favorites are here tonight. Rob Thomas from CityCast Madison is here. He's an entertainment critic, Madison, Wisconsin-based, and he is the editor for CityCast Madison, which I've only started reading since Rob started working there, and it's got really cool stuff in it. It's a great local rag, as they say, for Madison people. So definitely check out CityCast Madison. I'll be asking Rob tonight about a few of the things he's put on the newsletter. And then it is a Bar Band Friday night. It's Friday night. That means Terry Barr is here. She's bringing new music, great conversation, and it's pretty much a party where Terry Barr has a voice, like when she does these features she does for Civic Media, they could be the most mundane thing, but she brings such passion to everything she reads. It's literally, I think I put this in the social media post today. She brings the party, you know, and that's kind of what Terry's talent is. And she's got a great voice and she's got a great eye and ear for music. So we'll hear some new music tonight, compliments of Terry, and we'll talk to her at 7:30. So fun. I love when it's fun when we have new guests on, but it's great when we have people we're used to talking to that I know is going to be good conversation. I'm very excited to hear what Rob says about some of the things I want to see. And he reviewed a couple movies on his Substack. If you get a chance, check out Rob's Substack at Not That Rob Thomas. Just Google that at Substack, and he writes, his movie reviews are just great. So, what am I forgetting, Conrad? Should we just get out of here? All right.
I think so.
So here's just something I got to get off my chest tonight. Everything now is... Most news you have to pay for. You know, I have an iPhone and Apple News, they grab you with these headlines And then I click on them and it's like, oh no, you have to order the Wall Street Journal. Oh no, you have to order Vanity Fair. You have to order Popular Mechanics. Like nothing that they advertise you can actually read. So what are people spending their money on? Like I have probably 10 streaming platforms. I can't get 10 news platforms, and there's enough places I can get news for free. But to get really good news by really respected people, you have to pay for that. But to get other news outlets, sometimes that take liberties with the truth and our propaganda, that's all free. So, and you could argue on both sides, like, you know, I'm not going to get into that, but I find that strange that the most respected publications you have to pay for, the stuff you want people reading to educate themselves, most people don't pay for. But all the garbage is free. So that could explain a lot. I don't know. Do you subscribe to any of these? Like, I wish I had the Wall Street Journal.
I do not.
I wish I had the New York Times. Vanity Fair. Great articles in Vanity Fair.
You know my only...
Not going to get them.
The only place I go to.
Mad Magazine?
Puberty.
Puberty. Are we even saying that right?
I don't know if we are.
Puberty.
Puberty?
Puberty's better, even though it sounds like puberty. Why would you name...
I don't know, but
anything
when I,
that sounds like something sexual.
I just... To, I love know. Their articles, though. I think they do some great work there.
It's just aggregate. I mean, they take stuff from Variety and, you know, Yahoo, and but it, they compile it all into one site, which is kind of cool. I like reading it, too. I didn't even know about it before you started sending me stuff. I don't know. I'm bummed out with Apple News. Don't put it on there. Everything's an ad. I watched the movie Laura last night. Mariah Gates was on the show. She said Laura was her favorite film noir. We were talking about film noir with Mariah last night. So I got home last night, and it's widely considered one of the best film noirs ever. So I go to watch it, and I found it on a free app called Classic Movies. I'm like, all right, I'll save $4. So I watched on that. It was like 4 minutes of movie, 4 minutes of movie, 5 minutes of political commercials, 7 minutes of movie, 5 minutes of political commercials. It's like you forgot what was going on in the movie. You're better off just paying the buku Dolores, you know? All right, Rob Thomas is coming up at 6:35. I'm going to read some texts next. They're rolling in for our question of the night, and then we'll talk to Rob at 6:35. Terry Barr is here tonight. It's a great, festive, fun Friday here at Nightlight, and it is great to have you with us. I'm Pete Schwabe. This is Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
I found my thrill.
Steve is our first texter tonight, and he says, I still don't get the Christmas in July.
Other than.
Okay. Other than Hallmark. Wow, that's interesting. You're related to Steve, so you understand his typos. That's impressive.
Yep.
Steve's got thumbs like me, I think. I still don't get the Christmas in July other than Hallmark cashing in. But anyways, no Christmas music or Christmas commercials until after Thanksgiving. Yeah, I can live with that, Steve. It's funny. I used to do a lot of freelance writing for networks like promotions and stuff like that. And I did some for NBC, worked on the Sunday Night Football campaign, which was fun. And I did a lot for Lifetime. And that was the first time I'd ever heard of a Christmas in July campaign. And the guy that I worked with there was named Jared Christensen, was a really good dude. And I wrote like 12 spots for this thing. And they were so excited. Christmas in July, people... It like will remind people of Christmas. And it was a really, I thought it was a good idea. And I thought people would go for it. I was so proud of the work I did. And I think they pulled the campaign because it's, as it turns out, Steve, nobody wanted to watch Christmas movies in July. So it's kind of a bummer. I thought, You know, people go so crazy for Christmas. I really thought, you know, whatever. I was a hired gun. It's not like I cared that much, but I was kind of surprised. I thought people, given their love for Christmas, would go for it. But Steady Eddie says, Pete, I don't think I want to know what goes on in your wiggle room. Please don't tell me. Maybe just give me a little hint. You're doing a lot of waffling there, Steady Eddie. Nothing. It's not. There's nothing nefarious. It's nothing like foreplay, if that's where you're going with this. It's just if I have to get out of a situation, I'll go to the wiggle room. That's what I do. Let's leave it at that, Eddie. But thanks for the text. Jim from Appleton says Christmas movies, music decorations shouldn't come out until the week of Thanksgiving. We're getting a consensus here. Paula, Conrad's mom, says cannot watch Christmas movies or listen to Christmas music until after Thanksgiving. There's a reason your parents got together, Conrad.
There's a reason why I don't. There's a reason why I don't do that either.
Yeah, you don't want to break rank. Hi, Pete and Conrad. Please ask Rob Thomas about the movie Conclave with Ralph Fiennes, Stanley Tucci, and John Lithgow. I will do that, Anna. That's one I definitely want to see. I've heard, I mean, the reviews are great. It sounded interesting too, a mystery at the Vatican. But a lot of the comments I've seen on social media, people really like the film. And that got out just in time for Oscar buzz. So we'll see what happens with that, because Ralph Fiennes seems like he's going to be, I mean, it just seems like he'll get an Oscar nomination because he's Ralph Fiennes and it's this controversial film too. But I'm anxious to see that. Have you seen it, Anna? Let us know if you've seen it, but I will ask Rob that. Bridget says, Christmas music day after Thanksgiving, but I would listen mid-November. And a heart emoji. Very sweet. Thank you, Bridget. And I'm kind of with Bridget there. I would listen a little mid-November just to get the party going. No eggnog, though. No decorations quite yet. But maybe one of the more popular Christmas tunes. Not the dogs barking jingle bells.
That's a classic. You know, for Christmas, just play that the whole time.
Yeah. You live alone, right? All right. Jameson from Pennsylvania says, holiday movies. Let's start with the next one up. Thanksgiving, Adam's Family Values, and the drama play they put on in singing the song about being a turkey and saying, eat me. Christmas holiday films I usually can start the day before Thanksgiving while preparing the feast for Thanksgiving Day. That's not a bad idea. That's a good plan. But be sure to watch Dutch or Scent of a Woman as well, which take place at Thanksgiving. Oh, yeah. What's Dutch? Is that the Ed O'Neill film? I'll have to look that up. Aunt Carla checks in. Aunt Carla has been absent lately, but it's great to have you back, Aunt Carla. Grandma Krieger and Aunt Carla listening. Most of these people texting tonight are your relatives, Conrad.
Yeah. And just to clarify, it is the Ed O'Neill movie.
I thought so.
Yep.
Okay. Grandma Krieger and Aunt Carla listening. Grandma likes the song Blueberry Hill. Thanks for playing. Well, you're very welcome. I like that song too. And it was one I kind of forgot about. I haven't heard it in a couple of years. And then I heard it, I'm like, oh, I got to work that into the rotation. Thank you, Carla. Bridget also says, I believe his name is pronounced Rafe? Long A? Oh, Bridget. Having the same issue your dad did. Bridget says, Ralph Forbes. And then she said Fiennes, and then she said, I believe his name is pronounced Rafe, long A? I don't know. It's not Rafe, is it? It's Ralph.
That looks like a Ralph.
It's Ralph Fiennes. And that's a weird name. Like, Ralph is the guy who works at the docks or at the foundry. Not like an esteemed British. It's a great name. I'm just saying. That's probably why we're having this little controversy. Ezekiel checks in on the stream, watching on Facebook, and says, music being played anytime before Thanksgiving at 10 p.m. is too soon to play Christmas music. All right, so he's saying Thanksgiving Day, if it's before 10 p.m., you cannot play holiday or Christmas music. Okay. You might as well just wait till the next day then at that point, though, Ezekiel. All right, there's another movie coming out that I think I did one of my Hollywood beats this week called Red One?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you just reminded me of it. And yeah. It's The Rock.
Chris Evans.
Nothing screams Christmas in my house like The Rock. Good Lord. And Chris Evans. Yeah. I don't know much about it. Like, I read it the other day for the beat, but I can't remember. So, it's another badass Santa Claus movie, right?
Yeah, but the beginning kind of reminds me of, like, Fred Claus. Because it's like, he's just, you know, on the streets with regular people.
Right.
And then he gets caught and he has to go up to the North Pole to save it. Kind of like Fred Claus. Like, I don't know. I just was like, I felt like I've seen this before.
Yeah.
But
probably.
I'll give it a watch, I guess, just to see how it is. Because, I mean, yeah. You got some good actors in it, but I feel
can't
like
I can't even remember if I liked Fred Claus. That was Vince Vaughn.
Yeah.
And I saw it, but it's not registering. So maybe it didn't stand well, out, but it was.
His brother is Santa.
Oh, that's right. He's yeah. the lesser brother.
Yep.
Yeah. That's, I feel like they ripped off my friend Dwayne Kennedy's joke about being Jesus' brother. Steve Christ.
They wrote a movie.
I'm even doing well. I'm managing a Harold's Chicken, but nothing I do is good enough. Anna says, Pete, I have not seen Conclave. All right, Anna, we'll both go see it maybe this weekend, and we can compare notes next week. How does that sound? That sounds like a fun project. We have the best listeners. All right, Rob Thomas is coming up next. Ladies and gentlemen, after Civic Media's award-winning news keeps you informed. So great to have you. We're almost there, folks. The weekend is here, and it is great to have you with us on Nightlight. This is Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Mea culpa time. Bridget was right. And it's kind of coming back to me now. I have not seen a movie with Ralph Fiennes, Ralph Fiennes, in so long. So I was wrong. Bridget says research. I am right about Rafe. And then I thought it was Ray. I was like, oh yeah, his name's Ray, not Ralph. And she's saying it's Rafe. And I think that's right. Or they're saying Ralph Fiennes. We need clarification on this. I know I'm wrong, and I'm a big enough man to admit it. I also say Coppola sometimes when I'm referring to the Coppola family. I also sometimes pronounce Conrad's name with a C. Now, that's harder to detect,
yeah.
But it does happen. So it is a Bar Band Friday night. Terry Barr will be here at 7:35. We have so much to talk about. I'm very excited to introduce my next guest, who is a frequent flyer here at Nightlight. He is the editor of CityCast Madison, which I highly recommend you check out. And you can check out his Substack at Not That Rob Thomas on Substack. Rob Thomas joins us now all the way from Madison, Wisconsin. Hey, Rob.
Hey, Pete. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good.
I mispronounced Ralph Fiennes' name. Is it Ray or Rafe?
It's Ralph, isn't it?
I thought it was, but a texter corrected me, and then I was like, oh yeah, maybe it is Ray. But she's saying it's Rafe, and then I thought, you know, I kind of hadn't thought about the guy in a while, and I'm thinking, I think it's Ray, but she insists it's Rafe, so I don't know. Doesn't matter. He's a good actor.
Yeah, I think.
Oh, do we have you, Rob?
I think so. I'm getting feedback.
You getting feedback? Oh, no. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, let's see how it goes. Maybe we can call you if we have an issue or whatever. We've been having issues with StreamYard lately. Conrad, your thoughts? You have the tools? Run to the car. Get the tools. We got to fix the stream. All right. So, Rob, you have... This CityCast Madison, I love it. I didn't even know it was around. I didn't know what it was until you started working there, but now I'm kind of addicted to it. It's such a great publication. Can you tell us more about it if people aren't aware of it?
Yeah, sure. So it's a combination podcast and newsletter. and I'm the editor of the newsletter.
Okay.
And so the newsletter comes out every day, and it's like a sum up of like news that's happening during the week, and like fun stuff I do as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. You have some fun things coming up. Before we jump into movies and TV, Rob, let's talk about what you have. These are just things I read about in CityCast. Tell us about this awesome event at the Barrymore Theater in Madison on November 9th. Vote for Pedro.
I'm so excited. I'm hearing myself a second later, and it's kind of driving me crazy.
Do you want us to call you, Rob?
Yeah, let's try to do that.
Let's do that. Conrad, do you have Rob's number? I'll send it to Conrad, and we'll get this taken care of. Boy, it's the third night in a row we've had trouble with the stream. What gives? Any ideas? You're the tech guy in this duo.
I didn't bring my hammer.
Yeah, but I don't know if that's going to do it, right?
I think it should.
So we'll get Rob back on. I'm tracking down his number right here, and I will send it to you, Conrad, and let's get him on the phone, because there is a really, really cool event happening in Madison on November 9th, like I mentioned, and it's called Vote for Pedro. And they're going to have actual cast members there. They're going to be at the Barrymore Theater. John Heider, I think I'm saying his name right. Or Rafe Heider. And the guy who plays Pedro, Ephraim Ramirez. And John Grise. I think I'm saying that right, too. I've seen this guy in film forever. He's had a really nice career. He was in the first season of White Lotus. But all three are going to be there for a Q&A after a screening of Napoleon Dynamite at the Barrymore Theater on November 9th. I mean, how fun does that sound? So we will ask Rob about that. And again, I didn't even know about that, but the CityCast Madison has a lot of great events. If you live in the Madison area, we're going to ask Rob about a few of the things happening in Madison in November, and we'll get to movies and TV as soon as we get him back. Annie from Watertown says, again with the wind advisory. I don't know what that means, Annie. Is it windy where you are down in Watertown? We're okay here in Green Bay. It's not too bad outside. Do we have Rob back?
He's just quickly restarting his phone.
Oh, okay. So did you hear about this event?
Did we talk about it last time?
Can't you? I'm not sure what Annie's saying in the text. What are you saying, Conrad?
I said, did we talk about it last time?
Vote for Pedro?
Yeah.
No, this is a new event, or this is the first time I've been made aware of it, at least. And it's at the Barrymore Theater on November 9th, and it sounds really cool. So that's the first thing I want to ask Rob about. We will get Rob back momentarily as soon as his phone starts up, and we will get him back. And I don't know, Annie, if your texts are meant for us here. I don't know if, I don't know. Conrad, I'm going to let you. I don't know what you're referring to, Annie, but give us some clarification. We'll see if we can figure something out, or if you want some type of a weather update or something. All right, so we're going to ask Rob about that. I will ask, I told Anna I would ask Rob about Conclave, and I'm not sure if he's seen it or not. I don't remember reading a review of Conclave from Rob, but I'm sure he's heard about it and seen all the Oscar buzz. And there was another thing he wrote about on his Substack about the movie Chasing Amy. So if you remember in the, I want to say late 90s or maybe right about 2000, a movie called Chasing Amy came out, and it was a Kevin Smith movie. And someone made a documentary about what that movie meant to them. So we'll get into that with Rob, too. But first, we're going to discuss this Napoleon Dynamite event. Do we have Rob back? Okay, Rob is back. Hey, Rob.
Hey, Pete. How are you?
Oh, that's better. Is it better for you?
It's much better. Yeah, okay. I swear it was like the real Rob Thomas was repeating everything I said a second later. It was very distracting.
So yeah. in a nice harmonic voice, not quite, you know, you have a better talking voice, though, and that's what we're more interested in right now.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, we were talking about this event at the Barrymore on November 9th. Please tell us about it. It sounds so much fun.
Yeah, so Napoleon Dynamite, which is this, you know, if you haven't seen it, it's this 2004 indie comedy, instant cult classic, you know, million quotes.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we played it. I think it was probably the most mature movie we showed to our kids, and they all loved it.
Same.
You know, talked about tater tots and everything. Right. So they're showing it at the Barrymore Theater here in Madison on November 9th. And the three stars of the film, who play Uncle Rico, Pedro, and Napoleon himself, will all be there and do like a post-show, like conversation Q&A about the film.
I absolutely love that.
Yeah.
Do you know if there are still tickets available, Rob?
I think last time I checked a couple of days ago, there were still tickets available. The Barrymore is like a 900-seat room, I think. So,
wow.
And there's like gold circle tickets where you can do like a meet and greet and things like that. I just think like that movie kind of came out of nowhere, and it's so funny and so weird and just so odd. And I would say also, I really respect they've never done a sequel, because it would be very easy to, you know, do a Peacock sequel or something like that. And I'm very glad that they've left it alone. It's this kind of odd, perfect thing.
Well, let's see how desperate they all get for money over the next 10 years. And we'll see.
Depends how many people show up at the Barrymore with cashing on a sequel. Yeah.
I mean, what a great idea. And to do it in Madison is great, but I'm surprised also if there are seats. I think that would be something people would flock to. I mean, that and because I'm with you. When my kids were young, my daughter would get on my shoulders and we would watch the Napoleon dance over and over and over till I had like a kink in my neck. And but just such a fun movie. And you're right, so weird and came out of nowhere. Like this part of America you didn't even know existed.
Right, yeah. Sort of Coen Brothers-y, but definitely had its own weird take on things, and just, you know, these just bizarre characters who were just kind of fully formed. Yeah, it's as I said, instant classic. So I'm very excited to see kind of, I'm sure they have great stories about the making of it, and I'm sure when they made it, they had no idea that like 20 years later they'd be talking about it in front of people.
No kidding. And it's funny, in a weird way, I know this is sacrilegious to say this in the movie business, it's almost even more organic or authentic than a Coen Brothers movie, because their stuff is typically, not to compare the two, they're different, but this was a totally original, you know, where these guys were from. And when you see Napoleon drinking the gross milk and the farmers are paying him, this is just so crazy.
Yeah.
It was great. And I love, how do you say that actor's name? Is it John Grease or Grise?
John, I'm not sure. I think I say Grease, but I'm not sure if that's right.
I think
that's
I do
question.
Too.
Yeah.
He was in, go ahead, Rob.
He was in the first season of The White Lotus.
Yes.
Yeah, but he's been around forever. He's a great character actor. And John Hader, who played Napoleon Dynamite, has been in things. It's really cool, I think.
It's funny. I remember seeing John Grease, if that is his real name, in a movie called Running Scared with Billy Crystal and Gregory Hines. And
right.
Yeah, he played one of the younger cops, and I always kind
That's
of just
right.
thought he had a cool look. And when I saw him in Napoleon, I was like, oh, my God, this is that guy. And as it turns out, he's worked a lot, but not in really big stuff. But he's a good actor.
Yeah, he's like one of those character guys who, like, you see him in something, and they're like, oh, this will be good. He'll do something interesting with that. He was a werewolf in, I think, Fright Night Part 2, and I remember him in that as well. Just to go back a few years, yeah.
I also remember in the first season of White Lotus, he was he told Jennifer Coolidge's character he was from BLM, and she thought it was Black Lives Matter, and she got all excited and thought he was like this erotic guy working for Black Lives Matter, and as it turns out, it stood for the Bureau of Land Management.
not as
sexy.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I think he's in the.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, that's gonna be fun.
I have to ask you before I forget, one of our texters, Anna, asked if you've seen Conclave yet.
I haven't. I was going to go this week, and then I couldn't make it. But I hear that's actually really good, like really entertaining.
I've heard so, too. Great reviews, and audiences seem to really like it, too. And it's rated PG, which is crazy. But
well, it's all popes and cardinals, so there's probably not much sex or swearing, right?
Right. Well, you'd hope not. It's on my list,
on.
Too. It got great reviews. All right. So Before we go to movies, I want to ask you about your Substack. You wrote about a film, or you wrote about six kitschy things in Wisconsin. Can we just cover that quick? I thought that was great.
Well, that was actually an article somebody else wrote, but it's a great article up on CityCast Madison. You can find it there. But it is just like these great roadside attractions, like that are all over Wisconsin. Like I always wondered about that giant orange moose in Black River Falls that you drive by on I-94.
Right.
And I guess there's a big, the world's largest fiberglass fish is in Hayward. And, of course, the Dells itself is an attraction. And,
yeah.
Yeah, that's a really fun one. So I thought that was a good time to run that while people are doing their fall leaf peeping drives. They can stop off and see the Hodag or something
right.
like that. Or the goats on the roof at the restaurant in Door County.
L. Johnson's, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. I've never seen the Hodag, and I love the qualifier, the world's largest fiberglass muskie. So I feel like I've seen that, but yeah, great stuff. And we have to do a really quick break. I'm sorry it took us so long to get situated here, but when we come back, I would like to ask you about Chasing Amy. As usual, I thumb through your reviews, and they're just I just have questions. So you've seen so much more than I have, so we'll get caught up in that stuff too.
That's why I'm here.
Yeah. And what is the I need the River Flows? Oh wait, what's that called? It was a review. It's a Chinese noir that you reviewed.
Only the River Flows.
The River Flows. So we'll talk about that too. Okay, Rob Thomas is here. We are squared away. We can hear him now, and all is right with the world. So we will be right back after a very short break here on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. This is interesting, and I did not forget about this, Jameson, but I appreciate the nod. Jameson from Pennsylvania says, Ralph, in this case, is pronounced Rafe, but don't forget his brother Joseph Fiennes, who is also an excellent actor. Yeah, Joseph was in Shakespeare in Love and had this great charisma and energy. I thought he was fantastic, and I think I've only seen him in a couple things since then, although I know he works a lot, but... Well, that's another thing we can ask our guest, Rob Thomas, who joins us here. He is the newsletter editor for CityCast Madison. Definitely check it out. Rob, do you remember that movie, Shakespeare in Love?
You know, I never saw that movie. That's one I just missed.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
I know Joseph Fiennes, but yeah, it's one I've always meant to catch up with.
Yeah, he plays a young Bill Shakespeare, and they call him Bill in the movie, which cracked me up. But he's really good in the film, and he's got this great kind of energy about him. All right, so... regarding CityCast Madison, Rob, you also did an article about a lost city in the Arboretum at the UW, on the UW campus. Tell us about that. I kind of just skimmed through that one because it wasn't about movies, but I really got into it. What is that exactly?
That was super fun. Yeah, it's this community that was planned in Madison a century ago, and this guy had... basically a plan to build his own suburb, and that it would have its own, what was it called? Lake Forest or Forest Lake or something like that. And it would have its own streetcars and water system and electric power system separate from Madison. And every, I think of 400 homes, each one would either be on the edge of a forest preserve or on the edge of a lake. And what I guess he didn't count on was the ground was so wet that the first homes he built just started sinking into the marsh. And I think the plan was to put in canals to try and drain the water, but it never happened. Eventually, it was just abandoned. And then UW bought that land, I think, in the 30s. for the Arboretum, which is this wonderful natural preserve in Madison. And the Arboretum is just kind of grown up around these abandoned, so you can still go in there and sort of follow the path and see. It's really weird.
Wow.
Actually, it's kind of eerie. It's kind of for Halloween because you go into the woods and there's like a concrete path. It's all cracked and faded just in the middle of all this underbrush that goes in for like a mile. And then when you get there, you can see a few, it's like an archaeological dig. You can see like the foundation of where one house was.
Oh, wow.
And there are a set of stone steps that are still at another one that kind of just lead up to nowhere. It's just a really cool, like almost forgotten piece of Madison history. And they call it the Lost City Forest in honor of that now. And it's just super cool, a little piece of Madison history.
And it never really happened, right? I mean, it sounded like they put these plots down and even maybe ran some piping or something or whatever, but it never happened.
Yeah, I think he got six houses built, at least the foundations, and like I said, the steps. And then it became quickly clear the ground just couldn't support it.
Wow.
And you know, it was sunk cost, no pun intended, and I guess the guy cut his losses and abandoned the project. But there are still these little ruins that sort of mark where it used to be and what might have been there if Mother Nature hadn't intervened.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about another thing you wrote about. I think this was in the Substack. Chasing Amy. For Kevin Smith fans out there, Chasing Amy, I remember seeing it, and I was always kind of hot and cold. Like, I thought Kevin Smith was fine, but a little too aware of himself or something in his films.
Oh, sure.
But over the last 25 years, I've developed a real appreciation for that movie because of what it deals with when it comes to, and I think you touched on this in the article, the LGBTQ stuff. It was kind of ahead of its time. A little bit. I mean, there were other people doing that, but he was the first white guy to do it, I guess, that you also mentioned in your article.
Yeah, that's kind of the irony of it, was it was a groundbreaking film for 1997 because it was, you know, it was a romantic comedy drama where Ben Affleck played this cartoonist who falls for this fellow cartoonist who is lesbian, although I guess probably she's bisexual, and sort of the challenges that causes to both their friend groups and things like that. For 1997, it was, you know, very groundbreaking. But, you know, rightfully, it was made by a white guy, and the main character is a white guy, straight white guy. And, you know, some, you know, LGBT filmmakers were like, well, why can't we tell our stories? Why is
right.
why does a white guy have to tell an LGBTQ story? So, the documentary Chasing Amy is about this this transgender man who, when he was a teenager, found Chasing Amy, like the VHS copy, and was like obsessed with it. It was like, this is the world I want to live in. He grew up in like rural Kansas and watched the movie like 200 times or something like that. And so as he grew up and wanted to make his own film, he wanted to kind of look into, you know, meet Kevin Smith, talk about the making of the film, but also kind of talk about the complicated legacy of the film, how, you know, it was this transformative thing for him, but also, you know, it's considered problematic, I think, in some areas now. It actually probably was at the time.
Yeah.
So it's a really interesting documentary. And the best part, I think, honestly, is, you know, I'm also very hot and cold on Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
As a filmmaker, you know, I mean, the one about when the guy gets turned into a walrus, that I don't know if you saw that one, but it was,
I didn't see that.
Okay, I think, but he's very candid. He's extremely candid about his work, about the shortcomings of his work. He's very grateful to this young filmmaker for, you know, finding something in it. And that sort of like candor and honesty about your own work, and when he could have been very defensive about it, quite frankly, I think makes it a really interesting documentary.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Instead, the guy said he watched that movie on VHS 200 times. He connected with it so much, which is really cool. All right, Rob Thomas is here. Can you stick around for a few more minutes, Rob?
Oh, absolutely.
All right, fantastic. Yeah. We've got award-winning news coming your way, and then we'll have more with our friend Rob Thomas on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
That topless lady has something up her sleeve. Where she danced around the barroom and she did the hoochie coo.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community.
Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.